Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John. I want to talk about a voice this morning. Many of you have probably seen the TV show The Voice. And the Bible says every voice is not without signification. We say things every day. We say things with how we act and how we live and who we run with. All of our leanings and so forth, we are speaking. And John chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "There was a man from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." John the Baptist called from the womb. If you ever wonder, well, is that unborn baby? They try to not call it a babe. They try to call it a fetus and try to dehumanize it as much as they can to justify the murder of all, butchering of all those babies. But the Bible says that the salutation of Mary, the babe, John the Baptist, leapt in the womb. My, my, my. He rejoiced from the womb at his calling from God. John the Baptist called as a voice to prepare the way of the Lord. Luke 1:44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Called from the womb to prepare the way of the Lord. Matthew 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, a quick sidebar there. When John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord, the ministry was Jewish. The context was the kingdom of heaven, which is a literal, visible, physical kingdom here on earth. The Jews were expecting their Messiah to come and take them out from under the Roman bondage and set up his throne. But the Jews rejected our Lord. But at speaking here, it says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And we won't go into detail here, but the kingdom of heaven differs from the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom that we're part of now. We're part of a spiritual body, that is manifested by a local church filled with believers. Testifying, well, first in Matthew 3:3, it says, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight." A voice crying in the wilderness, preaching a repentance. Now, surely the world we live in, as it ever has been in my lifetime, is a wilderness. Man, there's most of the world, they just don't get it. They don't want to come to God. They don't want to hear about God. They don't believe in Christ. They don't want to hear from anyone who does believe in Christ. It's a wilderness that we find ourselves in. And said, here he was, a voice crying in the wilderness, preaching repentance. Now, repentance is a word that is defined 1,000 different ways by those within the church. I've seen preachers and theologians try to define repentance as being a where you just about had to be sinlessly perfect before you could get saved. You have to, you got to turn your life around. You got to do this and do that. Go from point A to point C. And the Bible don't teach that. I think Harold Seitler put it best. Dr. Harold Seitler said, "I don't care what kind of repentance you had. If it's the kind that brings you to Calvary, it's the right kind." Repentance toward God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are, the body of Christ manifested in a local assembly of believers. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Your repentance must end at the cross of Christ, or it's not the right kind. Matthew 3 and verse 4 says, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." Now, for the cause of Christ, it appears here that John the Baptist eliminated from his life anything and everything that could be a stumbling block to the gospel. How he lived his life was for the cause of Christ, and we'll see a little later that his purpose for coming was to manifest Christ to Israel. And to do that, he eliminated anything that would be an offense to the Jew. He didn't drink wine. He didn't eat meat, because different sects of the Jews took issues with both of those, so he didn't do either one. He didn't want them to pick out something out of his life that would deter the message of Jesus Christ. Eliminated meat from his diet, eliminated wine. Paul would later write, in Paul's work, he would later write that he became all things to all people, that he might save some. And he did it for the gospel's sake. Now you can ask someone in the church to do something and for the gospel's sake, and a lot of times they're just not interested in doing it. They think they have liberty to do that, and you do. You got a lot of liberty in Christ. But there's also an admonishment from Paul that your liberty is judged by the conscience of another. Now, if I march into the liquor store and buy me a six-pack of Coke, someone sees me walking out of that liquor store, they don't know I've got Coke in that. Okay? Yeah, that one. So the Bible says to avoid all appearance of evil. Now, if you've got a New Age Bible, they've done away with that, by the way. So, but what we do, the way we act, the way we talk, what we do is for the gospel's sake. And it's to not be an offense to anyone. Not an offense to the Jew, the Greek, nor the church of God. Not to be an offense to anyone. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:19. He said, "For though I be free from all men," and he was, "yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." Talking to the Gentile world here. "And to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." When is the last time that you yielded something that you really feel you have liberty in, but you yielded to the conscience of someone else because you didn't want to be a stumbling block to them, to the gospel? That's something to think about. You know, we ease on in our Christian walk, and you start talking about taking away somebody's rights, they get real upset with you. "I've got my rights. I've got the liberty to do this if I want to." Why is my liberty evil spoken of? Because your liberty becomes a stumbling block to someone who's weaker than you are. I'm not going to stay there, but let me move on here. But Paul said, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now John the Baptist was a voice. The apostle Paul was a voice. I am a voice. You are a voice. Every blood-bought, born-again Christian in the world today is a voice. Every unsaved man is another kind of voice. 1 Corinthians 14:10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Everything you say, it means something. What you say, what you wear, who you run with. Well, preacher, now you're starting to meddle. Now, whether you and I know it or not, whether we like it or not, my life, your very life, is a voice. And what does it say? Your walk, your talk, your character, your appearance, your musical appetites, your political leanings, the TV programming that you watch, your social media activity. Just something we need to think about. Reflect on a minute. All are either a voice commending someone to Jesus Christ or a voice detracting from the cause of Christ. Where you go. Like I said, what you watch on TV, what you listen to, who you run with, who you run from. There's some things some folks you ought to run from. As a policeman for many years, I dealt a lot with the high school kids. And I'd tell those young ladies, I'd say, young lady, if that boy that you are so interested in, if he don't have a job, you put one foot in front of the other and run as fast as you can the opposite way from that boy. That was good advice. I also said, read your Bible, say your prayers, and don't hit on any creeps. Good advice, too. I've been here, done that all over the... Let me move on. All right. Who you run to, who you run from, who you run with, who you vote for. Well, it's secret ballots. I don't know. Yeah, it's not between you and God. All things are open and naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. You vote for a crowd that is okay with murdering 70 million babies in the womb. Good luck. Good luck with God on that one. Better be at the altar. Thought I'd throw that in. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Sometimes it's difficult to do that. When John the Baptist finally saw the Lord, you know what he said? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was on a mission. On a mission. I don't know who wrote this song. I don't think Dale wrote that. There's a song. Dale Tilley used to sing it. I came here on business for the King. Anybody remember that song? Came here on business for the King. I like that. I told a nurse who was giving me a hard time up at University Hospital one time. She finally asked, well, who are you? I said, I'm the servant of the Most High God. A generation ago, they treated a preacher with respect. Now they just badmouth you, tell you to hit the road. All right. I'm throwing in a lot of little nuggets there for John the Baptist. He's on a mission, and the religious crowd couldn't figure him out. What is this guy? Have you heard about that guy, John the Baptist? Who is that guy? In fact, the Pharisees didn't know who he was or where he came from, and they had to send the crowd over to ask him who he was. They wanted to know. John 1:19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" The world may be asking you today, "Who are you? We've seen this out of you and we've seen that out of you. Who are you? I know you go to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week, are you the same the rest?" Let me move on. Starting to get on a rabbit trail there. Somebody be getting a briar and twisting my hair and pull me out of that hole. Here, let me. All right. "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed." John said, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" He said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." The Jews knew what he's talking about, man, that prophet. "Then I will raise up that prophet." All right. "Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. "Well, tell us, John, I don't know what, we're not sure what you're all about. Are you Christ?" "No, I'm not him." "You Elias?" "Nope. It's not me." "Are you one of the prophets?" "No." "Well, then who in the world are you?" He said, "I'm just a voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." Who are you? Who are you here this morning? What do you represent to the world? What is your persona viewed by the rest of the world? What emanates from your character and your conversation and the things that you do, the music you listen to, the places you go, the conversation you have? Remember the TV show CSI, Crime Scene Investigation? And it started out with a song, "Who are you?" Remember that? "Who are you? Art thou the Christ?" "Nope, not me. John the Baptist." "No, John the Baptist." That's what they ask. Are you Elias? "Isaiah?" "Nope, not him." "John the Baptist said, I'm a voice." Well, what does the evidence say? What is the evidence out there of actually who you are? Well, how this saying goes, said, your reputation is what people say you are or think you are, and your character is what God knows you to be. Is that how that goes? You know, I believe we all have a secret life. Got a little secret life that only God knows. Your wife don't know. I don't mean to start a fight here this morning. Your husband don't know. We've got a little secret life of some things between that you're constantly with a tug of war between you and God, because you fought it and fought it. Secret life. That's the one that's going to be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. What your motives were for what you did, how you witnessed. But what does the evidence say? What does your life say? Well, I will say this. I never missed a Bengals game. Then you've seen more losers than I have in a while. Opening day for the Reds. I used to love going to opening day for the Reds. When we were in the music business, we had a big Silver Eagle tour bus. And we'd get up, we had a buddy who'd get us a parking pass right on the plaza level. And we'd park that big tour bus, pull in there, and Man, we'd hang out. Jim O'Toole from the Reds was a great pitcher for the Reds. He'd stop by and see us. I remember Larry Whalen, chief of police for Cincinnati. We were big wigs, we thought. Opening day. Boy, we can't miss opening day. I don't think I ever missed one of my kids' baseball games. Nothing really wrong with that. You should be there for your kids. But you sure missed a lot of church. Well, preacher, I don't think you have to go. No, you don't have to go to church to be saved. It's a testimony. The Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. I understand that. But if nobody comes, who does the work? Who does the work? And it's the church, most of the folks that I run with and believe like it, the church is authority behind what you do. You put yourself under the preaching of a pastor, the ministration of the Holy Spirit who works through the local church. You do those things. What does your life say about your spiritual place in the scheme of God's church? Missed a lot of revivals. We've had 300 or 400 people in church, and then you throw a revival, and there will be about 70 show up for a revival. Their church they've supported, have a revival put on for them. We'll spend a lot of money trying to get somebody in to encourage folks and to lift them up. And I can't help that. And you may not be one of those folks that don't show up. I know that's between you and God, but I'm just kind of reminding you here, I'm to exhort you to, you need to support the works and the works of the church. Missed a lot of opportunities to witness the gospel, a lot of folks have, by being preoccupied with carnal things. The Bible said that God sent John for a witness. John bare witness to the light, and that light is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. When John was baptizing in Jordan, he said the reason he was baptizing was to manifest Christ to Israel. Everything you do in life is a manifestation of something. A witness of something. A voice for something or someone. Some will cry out, save the whales. They're a voice for the whales. And wouldn't dare speak up for someone killing an unborn baby. Sometimes we'll get things all messed up. James 3:10, the Bible says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. You shouldn't leave the church, brother this and brother that, and then you get out on the job and you cuss like a 30-year Navy man. What's that about? Everyone in here has been around someone like that. You'll see them in the restroom somewhere over the coffee table, and that same fellow you was in church with will be, have the nastiest mouth. Said those things. It shouldn't be that way. Because he is a voice. Well, I belong to that church out there. Yeah, sure, I cuss a whole lot. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Man, I'm sure glad that's not anybody in here. Glad it's not me, like that fellow up down at the temple that evening with that sinner for that fellow said, God, I'm glad that's not me. I'm glad I'm not like this guy over here. Oh boy, you're a voice, you're a witness. It's just that simple. John was sent to manifest Christ to Israel. You and I are to manifest Christ to a lost and dying world. what we do, what we say, should be geared toward the cause of Christ. What our lives say to a lost world can be the difference between heaven and hell for many folks. You need to hear some good old-fashioned preaching. I heard some great preaching this week. A fellow by the name of Pastor Ed Ritchie. It's Miss Melissa's daddy. Pastor's a church, little Baptist church up somewhere in Indiana. What town?
Elkhart,
Indiana. Oh, well, that's not a little town. It's a big town in India. But old-fashioned, just shouting out the gospel of Jesus Christ, grace of God. Did it with authority. Peter said this, he's in 1 Peter 3:15, he said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You need to be ready. You need to be ready when the opportunity opens, when the door opens, you need to step through it and witness the gospel. I took advantage of that yesterday. I don't always do it. Don't act like I'm saying, well, I do this. But God opened that door for that old rascal that I had witnessed to for 20 years, and he got saved yesterday. I could have drove right on by. Got to take those moments. The Bible says over in Ecclesiastes, it said, "The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but time and chance happeneth to us all." Well, I do a message on that. When I used to do that message, I tell the story about sitting at a table eating fried chicken one night with old country star Tex Ritter. He'd recorded the song High Noon, was an Academy Award winning movie, and I went out and got some church's fried chicken after the show, and we're sitting there eating, just me and him. And I asked him about that song, High Noon. Oh, anybody remember that song? Anybody old enough remember the movie, Academy Award winning movie? Nobody ever heard of it. Star Wars, maybe, but not. He'd had a song, a text where it said, "Oh, don't forsake me, oh, my darling." Yeah. And I asked Tex about that song. He said, "You know, it's a funny thing about that song." He said, "The only reason that I got to sing that song is that Burl Ives was out of town when they called the studio. Time and chance sold over 1 million records." Hey, when God gives you the chance and sets the timing up for you to witness to somebody, it'd be nice if you'd take advantage of that. Paul said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." John the Baptist said, "I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." There's an old preacher from Skipperville, Alabama, named Bob Jones Sr. He's a great old preacher. I don't care much about Bobby Jr. and Bobby the Third and Fourth and however far they go down. Don't care much for that crowd. But old Bob Jones Sr., he was a dandy. And one of his chapel sayings was, "What you would be for God, you are now becoming." What kind of voice does the world hear when it sees you? Where are you in God's scheme of things when it comes to the cause of Christ? John 1:7 says, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Are you a witness? Are you bearing witness to the light? You should be. If God loved you enough to save you, and he did, then you should love him enough to get in the fight for the cause of Christ. I'm done this morning. Everyone stand up. Maybe you're here today and you've just never trusted Christ. You've never been clear on the gospel. The gospel is simple. The disciples asked the Lord, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you a witness this morning? Are you a light to a lost and dying world? A witness for Christ.